We are now recording. Today is November 19th and it's 12:03. And should we do a quick roundtable so the recording knows who's here? Christy Dahlberg with Wasatch Front Regional Council.
Lance Evans, Morgan County Planning.
Mark Allen, Weber County.
Sean Wilkinson, Weber County.
Scott Hess, Wasatch Front Regional Council.
Great.
On the phone.
Oh, yeah, and Rochelle.
Oh, on the phone. Rochelle Custer, Tooele County.
Great, thank you. And then Sheriff, you want to take it away?
All right. Our first item on the agenda is to approve the minutes of August 20th, 2019. Hope everyone's had a chance to review those. Do I have a motion for approval?
So moved.
Second.
All right, we have motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Motion passes. Okay, item number two is a review of survey results. Christy.
Thank you. So, just to refresh, the reason the survey was sent out was to inform the five-year consolidated plan, which we need to update this year, as well as the annual action plan, which is updated every year. And then thirdly, to inform come next August when we are updating our rating ranking criteria and our priorities. Hopefully this will inform that a little bit and make sure that we're on the right track. So the survey was sent out to two people from each jurisdiction, which is about 24. And then we have 10 responses, so that's something. I'm going to send out a reminder email and just let people know. I've already done that once and I got like about 4 or 5 more responses, so I'm going to send it out one more time and let them give them a hard deadline. It's going to close soon, but just really quickly going through those responses.
So Christy, how many of those did you send out? How many were invited to participate?
Let's see, like about 48. So two wow. people from each jurisdiction.
Oh, so 24 jurisdictions.
24 jurisdictions, so 10 jurisdictions out of 24, which is
okay.
It's not the worst.
No.
Okay, so of those 10 respondents, 3 have never received a
CDBG award.
A CDBG award, yes, thank you. And we can, if we're interested in who answered what, we can look at that also. The prioritization of the needs of eligible activities pretty much is in line with what we have in our rating and ranking criteria. With, I think, the exception of the low to moderate income housing is maybe a little bit higher here than in our rating and ranking criteria. Let's pull that up.
Rochelle, if you're interested in following along, Christy's on the WFRC.org and then committees page, and there's a CDBG section. It might be under programs, community development block grant, and then there's the rating and ranking criteria.
Yes.
So we're comparing that to the survey right now for what we currently have.
So
awesome. Okay, helpful.
Okay, so they had the top priority as public utility infrastructure. We have our top priority.
Are you coming to this?
I guess so. Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
Harriman.
Harriman.
Right here, right? You guys in CDBG meeting?
Yeah, this is the Regional Review Committee. Are you looking for?
I was told to come here. Brett Woods sent me here. The city manager? Is he wrong on this?
Are you here for what did he tell you?
I'm the planning director. He just said, come and attend this meeting.
The how to apply workshop was?
Like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Is that what you're?
I've just been told by my director to come, but if we don't need to be here, if Harriman doesn't need to be here, that's totally fine.
I can go chat with him about what this meeting is.
Okay, yeah, and so you're welcome to join if you'd like to join. But yeah, thanks, Scott. Sorry. So they have the results saved. Public utility infrastructure was number one. We have public utility infrastructure as number one. Housing activities we have as number two. They have as number three. Public service activities we have as three. They have as four. ADA we have as four and they have as five. And then public health and safety we have as five and they have as two. So that's a little interesting. Again, hopefully we'll get a couple more results, but responses, but I think that's something we should consider when we're writing our goals and our priorities in the future. I don't know, what do you guys kind of think about those results?
How much would it, how many more responses would it take to change those? I guess that's the...
Well...
Not many.
Some of them are kind of close, you know, but like this one astoundingly has like 50%.
Okay.
Put that there. This one's pretty like washed. Like this one could, one vote could change
right.
that.
Okay.
So that's a good point, something to consider. Were they thinking this was the how to
Christy?
Yes.
Did you only reach out to two people from each jurisdiction, or did you just send it out to all of them and ask for two to respond? I'm just wondering if I can put pressure on any of them that have not responded.
Yeah, that's a good question. I sent it to one elected official and one staff member per community. So it only got sent out to two, but it is a forwardable link if they didn't want to fill it out. But I can get a list of people who responded and who didn't respond, and we can see if we can encourage some people to respond.
Yeah, I'd be happy to try to put pressure on the ones, you know, close to you.
Yeah. Okay.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. So that'll be something I'll follow up with. All right. And then it'd be interesting to see kind of who responded into those things. So we'll go through that after this. Just go run through the whole thing quickly. As far as senior housing options, there's a number of communities who would like more senior housing options. And again, this is kind of a little bit for me too to reach out and say, hey, you said you wanted more senior housing options. That's an eligible CDBG activity. Even if your income limits, you don't think that you meet those income limits, senior housing is always something that is kind of pre-eligible in HUD's eyes. Community resources and social services. Yeah, but no one said that they didn't meet their needs, so there's not really a huge need for that, which let's see. Huh, interesting. Yeah, that was second to last on the priorities. Special needs and ADA meet our community's needs, agree. Homelessness prevention, first-time homebuyer assistance, renters assistance programs. Looks like there's a number of communities who would like more of that. I know we've talked with Weber Housing Authority about programs like that, but is there like a special service type provider in Morgan County that does kind of those things, or there's probably not really a need for that in Morgan County?
Well, I don't know about a need, but there's not a provider.
Interesting. Okay. Sidewalk, curb, gutter infrastructure meets the goals and needs of our community, so that's a big one, which falls again in line with the priorities of number one being public infrastructure. But that's a lot of people. That's probably the most astounding one. So then this one we kind of worded as like, does your capital facility, have you been budgeting for, and will you have the money when the need occurs to upgrade your sewer water infrastructure? Almost half and half, but mostly no.
Say, who said yes?
We'll go through that. Yeah. But yeah, that is interesting. It's like, no, we don't want your money. We're going to use our own money on it. That is funny. And then one town will not be won't be eligible. So that'll be interesting to see who
responded no.
Who responded no.
I think I know.
Was it you? And the individual responses. What isn't it? Oh no. I thought I put on. Oh, here we go. Okay. Morgan City. Okay. Stockton Town. Oh, is there a way we can see them all at the same time?
I have no idea. I've never used this.
Oh, okay. Serving. So it wasn't Stockton Town. It wasn't Morgan City. Wasn't Vernon. Wasn't Pleasant View. Not Riverdale. Not South Ogden. It was Huntsville, but they are not required to, so that's why he said that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that answers that. So I don't know, moving forward, do you guys feel comfortable like basing our goals and priorities off those results, or would you like to see more responses for that, or, you know, how, just kind of what's your initial response to the survey?
I'd like to see more responses, but I'd like to keep that, when we're looking at this every year, keep that at least on the side here and kind of compare a little bit, you know, I mean, we're not going to change it just because of that, I don't think. Because we've kind of seen, you know, you've seen by the applications exactly what, you know, what the need is more than that. But I think it's good to have that. I mean, why are we even doing a survey if we're not going
right.
to at least look at it? Mm-hmm. But I think when we're looking at that, we ought to have it right near us and say, wait a minute, we are so out of whack with this one. Maybe we ought to reverse those two or something.
But, mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think we change it just based on that. But I think it... I think we need to keep an eye on.
Yeah, if anything, the initial responses seem like it's pretty well in line with the way the program has been funding applications. So at least right now, there's not a big divergence between their desire for capital facilities planning and ADA projects versus what the priorities of the program currently are slated to be, which was good to see.
Any other thoughts? So kind of next steps on that, I'm going to get a list of people who didn't respond, and then I can kind of summarize or find a better way to display all this information kind of at once instead of clicking through the respondents. And then
You can export. I think you can export the whole report as like an Excel file. But that's okay. On the analyze, there's an export function. We'll look into how to do that.
Yeah.
Do you want to use... like Rochelle had mentioned, you know, the committee here to help you, would it help if you guys reached out to surrounding communities who didn't respond and let them know that this is available and please respond because it's helping to inform how we spend CDBG dollars? Is that, as an elected official, is that appropriate, do you think?
I think that's appropriate.
You don't have to do, you know, like everyone, but like if you have a personal relationship with someone or work closely with them, then where you see fit.
Sure, yeah, that'd be great.
Okay, yeah, so
I'd be happy to send it to just all the COG members because every one of them needs to have a representative, I believe, fill out the survey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure, okay.
That's important.
Weaver's the same way except Brogdon.
Yeah, I could bring it to the COG and just, you know, give our next COG meeting if I know. Mm-hmm. Who's on that list, just say,
hey. Warren County's on top of it. Your city responded.
When do you need responses by?
I mean, so we were going to kind of talk about this in a little bit, but if for informing the consolidated plan, I need to have a draft finished by the end of January.
Okay.
So that would be helpful. But then even if we want to continue getting responses like throughout the year for when we do update our rating and ranking criteria, but as far as for informing this before January,
okay. So we'll discuss that in the December WACOG meeting.
I could just do it under other items.
I think that's a great idea.
Say, you know what, we've sent out this many in the county, and we've sent it to this city. This is, you know, these different cities, and some of you have not responded. You see a thing from CDBG on a survey, please take a minute, don't trash it. I mean, you take a minute and fill it out. Kind of curious to see if, I think I filled it out. I'm not sure, but I'd like to know.
Find out.
Or see who the other staff member was, see if, just kind of curious, I don't know.
Because, sometimes you just go through there and see these things. I'd never delete a CDBG.
You were the respondent number one.
Oh, look at that.
What about, look at that, somebody else, who? What
Save
else,
the
who
best
else
for
our
first.
City, can you tell?
Sorry, what's that?
Anybody else in our city?
Nope.
You said that.
So we've got you from Washington Terrace, Marriott Slaterville, Roy, Huntsville, South Ogden, Riverdale, Pleasant View, Vernon, Morgan City, Stockton Town.
Oh, okay. So who did not respond in my city, I guess I'd like to know who that was sent to, I guess.
Oh.
Have them do it. Can you see that would be...
Well, anyway.
Yeah, there's a lot of them right there. Let's see, I see a few there from. You got Hooper, you got.
I know.
I can almost read that.
Email from you would go a lot further than that.
Well, you even had Jim Harvey and. Holland, so Holland up there. So.
Anyway, so I'll get this list over to you guys. Sounds like you got a good plan of attack for.
That'd be good to have.
Weber County.
Yeah, because you sent it to a couple of Weber County staff right there that I saw that did. I don't know if they were by or not.
Okay, good. So that is the survey. Where we are with the survey so far.
All right. Okay. Thank you. So item number 3, the consolidated plan update and goals discussion.
Yes, great. Thank you. So to give you guys a quick timeline on what is to happen with the consolidated plan. I need to have a draft over to the state by January 30th. And then that will also start, kick off a 30-day public comment period, and then I'll also need to schedule a public hearing on that. And then a final, once I've received all the public comment that doesn't come in, the final draft will be due to the state in March, and then the state will consolidate all of the consolidated plans from the 7 AOGs into one state consolidated plan, and that's what we submit to HUD, and that's how HUD reviews us and make sure that we are following CDBG guidelines and that they can continue to administer it the way that we administer it. Because I don't know if you guys know, but Utah does CDBG different than all 49 other states. They do it more on a state level. We're the only ones who give that responsibility to the AOGs. But we like it that way. You know, we feel like it gives more local control to, you know, I mean, Southern 6 County and 5 County are entirely different than Bragg and WFRC. So we like it that way. So that is a timeline of the consolidated plan. And a lot of this is just going to be demographic information that I'm just going to, you know, find out online. But what I wanted to get your input on is the mainly the goals portion. And then there are kind of specific questions that are more pointed towards the individual counties, but let's start with the goals, which there's no page numbers on this, but
it's, right
it's
about
halfway through.
Yeah.
And it's called Goals and Objectives. And I didn't want to just do this out of my mind or whatever, and you guys definitely know more on the ground of not only what's feasible, but like as far as the political climate and the economic climate and the market demand for these types of things. And so these are kind of goals, and because this is the consolidated plan, it reaches out 5 years. So this is 5-year goals for meeting these objectives. It's not written in stone. We're not going to get punished if we don't meet these goals, but HUD is going to look back and say, what have you done to try and achieve these goals? So if there's one that doesn't really apply to our region or our CDBG program that we administer here, we can write zero. We can cross that one out. But we are not allowed to change the indicator or the unit of measurement because they want it to be consistent across the board. And then if there is an objective here that isn't mentioned here, but we feel fits within our scope, we can add an indicator.
Now, are things like the homeowner housing added, is that per CDBG investment only? That's not just community-wide, right?
Like, right.
You're not tracking 5 years worth of new building permits, correct?
Right.
Okay.
If you guys have other HUD-funded programs in your communities, we can include that in here. It doesn't necessarily have to be CDBG.
Social services block grant or home funding.
Mm-hmm. Right, but like WFRC isn't involved in like home funding, things like that, like some of the other AOGs are, which is why it's included in here. But. So I guess we can just jump in. I know it's kind of nebulous, like a thing to think about, but I guess we could keep in mind what our priorities are as far as infrastructure activities and housing activities and things like that. So public facility or infrastructure activity other than low to moderate income housing benefit. So that would be like infrastructure, sidewalks, streets, gutter, curb.
And then for the quantity, it says you've got to have 1 year and 5 year goals for the goals listed. So
oh,
one, 1 year would be like we want to fund two of those per program cycle. So over 5 years, we're going to do 10 infrastructure type projects. And probably Christy would look at averages of the number of total households that that money has impacted. Because if CDBG can do one street and that's 8 homes, you do that twice a year. For 10 communities, then you're like 160 houses or something like that are of benefit for that type of program.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the like measure, like persons assisted.
Mm-hmm.
So is that house people within the household? So you use mm-hmm. household averages and mm-hmm. like then it breaks out. So we've assisted 160 homes times 3 point whatever the number of households or people per household average is, and then we can estimate that. Know 450 persons assisted.
So I know this is really tough and like it's a tough thing to just spring on you and be like, okay, pick a number. So this is our most recent consolidated plan 2015 to 2020, just to kind of give an idea of what we've shot for in the past.
Okay, so that's what we've shot for, but what did you achieve?
What did we achieve?
So do you have the numbers?
That's a good question.
That was our goal, yeah. And we actually got.
We haven't. One. This con plan was pre-Christie, so this was Sam Clem's con plan that he did. So we would need we would need to actually go back. That's a good point. So that's something to write in is to track the projects funded.
So, yeah, I can say from like street improvement projects we've done in the past, the average benefit is like, you know, there's 10 to 15 homes on the street, assume there's 3 to 4 people in those houses, then you've got 40 to 70 people that you're benefiting, which, but that's in one that's one project, that's one. So if this was over 5 years.
And it's better to shoot a little bit lower, honestly. Like, you don't want to be like, we're going to do 5,000
right.
assistants.
These guys look like they know how to shoot low. No, they don't.
Let's base it in reality, right? Well, maybe, I mean, it's
realistic.
I guess we can run through this list and look at the numbers that we had, but I think that's a really good point. Maybe
yeah.
what we do is we send back to the committee to consider via email. This was last year's con plan. Do we want to cut any of these categories out entirely? Like direct financial assistance to home buyers, 400. I know that when this small cities program was part of Davis County prior to entitlement, that
the Davis County Housing Authority did voucher programs. Mm-hmm. And so there was money from this program that went into Davis County through the Housing Authority voucher program that would do like motel vouchers or down payment assistance programs. And then they would run that on a program income basis, which we don't, we just have decided not to do it at our level. So WFRC doesn't have a program income fund that tracks, you know, $5,000 of down payment assistance and you have it for so many years, and if you sell your house before 5 years, you pay it back. That just complicates the program. So some of these, we might not be, like our program may be different today than it was 5 years ago with the changes in CDBG entitlements and who's actually doing these services. So if there isn't a...
Well, Weber Housing Authority has expressed interest in doing
okay,
that
through
CDBG.
So maybe, and I don't know if they've applied for that and how much of that we've funded over the X number of years. But those are things that we may want to, if you guys want to cut categories, but it might be helpful to have the projects that have been funded and our basic numbers, like our calculations, and then you guys can think of last con plan, what we've done, and then moving forward.
Yeah, yeah.
Would that be helpful?
Very helpful.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. There's a lot on there, but there are a lot. Well, there's a lot more that are on here, right? But these are. Yeah, I guess about saying that these are somewhat different, but on this. But this is just what they gave us as kind of a.
Yeah, this is the HUD template.
Yeah, so buildings demolished, we probably added that. And then there's a couple other, like jobs created, retained. It looks like we created that one.
Also, they've changed it so that only MPOs only the AOGs are allowed to do economic development projects. So, and I don't know. I don't think that was always the case.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something else that's changed. Okay, well, that's good direction. And I think that's a great idea. Very helpful to know what we actually achieved, to know what's possible to achieve. Which kind of it leads me into a segue of something else I wanted to discuss with you. Also, as far as the timeline goes, you know, I just had this training yesterday for the 5-year comp plan, and the draft needs to be submitted by the end of January, and we don't have an RRC meeting in between now and the end of January. So, the end of January is the start of a 30-day public comment period, but I would like direction from you guys. Do you want to have approved and reviewed the draft before it goes out to public comment period? Which could either
at
be...
At least look at it.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't want to be like, assume it's okay.
Yeah, we really wanted the RRC's feedback on the draft, and then if you want, as your community representatives, to utilize the public comment period as an opportunity to provide additional comments, then that's perfectly, I mean, that's really what it's there for. But that would be more for going out to the COG in January and saying, on February 1, we'll be in public comment period for the consolidated plan. You should look at it, and we have, as an RRC, reviewed it. So looking backwards from January 30 at how much time you guys want so that we can give you feedback back, like is January 10th and then give you 10 days to review it, and then we have 10 days to incorporate changes prior to the 30th. Like, is that enough time for you? And then is that enough time for you to get the comp plan draft done between now and January 10, like that's kind of what we're thinking, working backwards on the timeline. And then it would be all electronic review.
Yeah, we don't have you meet. We can do it via email.
Or did you have a scheduled proposal?
No, I mean, that's just kind of what I was thinking. As long as, I can get a draft done before the 30th. This depends on how long you guys would like to review it and provide feedback before the 30th.
What do you think?
January 30th?
That's when it has to go to public comment. So
okay.
Prior to January 30,
okay.
It would need to get to you, and then you'll need a review window. and then we'll want a window of time to incorporate those.
You need our comments back by January 20-ish.
Yeah, I think so.
Around there. So do we need it on the 10th, or do we need it on January 2?
I could always do it on
the
10th,
it's not a problem.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Okay.
That's 10 days. That's how long would this document be? This long?
Yes.
They're between like 25 and 40 pages, depending on the amount of. Is that about right? Okay.
This one's a little bit longer because it included Davis County.
Uh huh.
And it's about 50 pages. But that also includes appendices.
But the nice part about this document is that HUD only wants what they want. So as you flip through the template, they want you to really like just basically fill these out and format these charts. So aside from, you know, it'll say describe the need for rehab based on the condition of jurisdiction's housing, that's a part that we will write in based on an understanding of the data as it's come in. But for the most part, it's not a long-winded document. You know, it's just pretty tight to what HUD requires. So it's not a huge amount of review, and there's not a ton that is really overly flexible. Like our narrative components, we can be, but the data is just what
it's
the
mostly
data.
Mostly quantitative, not.
Yeah. I was going to say this data. If I look at this page,
yeah.
I just want to make sure you have the right numbers in there.
Right.
I'm not gonna know what those. I have no idea what those numbers are gonna be.
Well, I'm gonna
right.
You're gonna go back 10 years.
Like, well, and I'm only as good as the data that's available, which is like the 2017. Okay, and then one other thing I thought we could have a discussion about is barriers to affordable housing. So that's something you guys are gonna be more familiar with. That's if there's some sort of policy that's a barrier, you know, zoning ordinances, building codes, fees and charges, growth limitations, things like that that may be specific to your counties. Just so I can start to build a narrative on that, and then of course when you guys get the draft, I would maybe expect that you would have more comment on that. But just kind of as a starting point.
I think you learned a lot of Tooele County barriers last night.
Yeah.
That's true.
Lots of
choice workshops. Be a good place to pull data.
Oh yeah, you get the feedback from the
Program. So Morgan hasn't had theirs yet. Tooele County, we hosted a workshop last night, and then Weber County were part of our workshop series where we pair together communities that are geographically relevant to one another, or kind of policy relevant to one another, and go out and we're discussing the Wasatch Choice 2050 vision. And a part of those meetings was to ask, what is your community facing right now in transportation, land use, economic development? And we heard a number of barriers about, you know, people who are saying not in my backyard, there's a lot of community outreach that's needed, community education that's needed. So we could actually lean, I think, on some of that too, and say, here are some survey results from the broader communities as we've gone out and asked for their barriers. That would be a real good starting point, I think.
Mm-hmm. Although I think a lot of the workshop discussion focused on planning and not so much policy per se. So if you guys can think of any, you know, tax policies or zoning ordinances that are prohibitive of affordable housing.
Yeah, and with SB 34, everybody's being required to think through the modern income housing plan now. So it's
not
less.
Everybody.
Not everybody.
This is true. That's true. So maybe we say, and how is that going for Morgan City? I mean, do you guys have any inclusive zoning areas? Do you have any pushback to smaller lot zoning? Like, what are you seeing?
Yeah, no, we don't want to be inclusive, and we push back on anything that's, you know, less than 5 acres.
Mm-hmm. From the community.
Yeah.
So you're getting a lot of that not in my backyard type of community. And so your zoning code isn't necessarily as inclusive as it could be.
Well, it's as inclusive as the community wants it to be.
Right.
So,
that's true.
Know, there's the education aspect of the impact of our choices is kind of the barrier.
Yeah, good call, Morgan.
It's hard when we write code to become compliant and the public shoots it down.
This is true. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
are we kind of feeling the same way in Weber County?
So we've got the Western Weber Incorporation going on, and to, on top of that, Plain City's trying to beat them to the punch and annex a huge portion of Western Weber County. So we're going to lose that. But that's all. I mean, if you talk to these people, they're trying to form their own city, but they still want to keep acre zoning, and it's just not feasible. They don't have a tax base, and so one way or the other, urban development has to come somehow. So right. We've tried to make it more accessible. We've done some lot averaging provisions recently. We do have a cluster subdivision ordinance, so some things to help go that way, but really it's 1 acre and agriculture. Mm-hmm. So
kind of a disconnect between like services and amenities provided and personal
local desires.
Preference. Absolutely, yes.
Okay. Well, I should be able to get at least some blurbs from that, and then kind of rely on you guys for padding that those barriers. Great.
I love Rochelle, your comment that it's hard when the local communities write ordinances to be compliant and get shot down by the community.
Well, tonight we have an appeal in the county commission meeting. We wrote a PUD ordinance to allow for cluster development, preserve open space, kind of keep the agricultural feel. And it was approved, and the surrounding neighbors filed an appeal with the county commission.
Right.
So we can't even enforce our own codes.
Yeah, exactly.
We feel your pain.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so excluding the kind of feedback and the data I'm going to put together based on how well we achieved our goals from the last 5 years, and then hopefully you guys will be able to provide me some feedback, and you know, if we were pretty close to achieving our goals, maybe we want to keep them consistent, or maybe we think things have changed in the last 5 years and need to ramp up some of those goals. Those will be things that are easier for you guys to go through once I've compiled all that data. So that'll be a next step. So far all the next steps I have, I'm compiling that data and giving it to you, and then also for the survey who hasn't responded, and then I'll get that out to you.
So great.
I think that's all I got on the consolidated plan update.
The survey who have responded and who haven't responded.
Yep.
Give a shout out to those who have. Jump on it.
Exactly. And then some of those things will also inform the annual action plan, which is the 1 year update to the con plan. You have to do that still in the same year as the 5 year. So, two birds, one stone with that. So that's all I got for consolidated planning.
All right. Thank you. Okay, item 4 is a preliminary discussion on FY 2020 funding cycle.
Yes, thank you. Here it is. So, the only one who's started their web grants application is Washington Terrace.
There you go. Number
one. Always
number one.
Can you believe that?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Amy Rodriguez, yes.
Mm-hmm.
We are
mm-hmm.
always number one.
So completion of water main lines for tank number one. The first phase of that project was funded in this most recent funding cycle. And then fire department generator, straightforward. They need a bigger generator. If the power goes out, they need something to keep the power going. And that is eligible because it will be a permanent fixture in the building.
So when we start talking about like that top one right there, we're wrapping up one right now. Asphalt will be over and it'll be done.
Mm-hmm.
That line probably comes from a million gallon tank, goes out to a road that goes in front of 30 homes,
mm-hmm.
but it's going to serve, who knows, 500-600 people.
Right.
Right? Going into another main trunk that's going to go down and serve all these other.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, how do you put that into these?
It becomes,
I mean, you see that one
averages.
There, 225.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, my gosh, just one of these water trunk lines could be, you know.
And also considering with Tooele County that Wendover usually gets funding every year. They didn't this last year because they couldn't spend down enough money, but they've been working on their main water line too that serves their entire city, and that's however many hundred people. So it's easy for those numbers to get up there and make us look good so we can achieve those. Okay, and then people, I just wanted to give you a quick, I don't know, summary of how the How to Apply workshop went. We had a pretty good turnout. I think there was like 18 to 20 people that came. A lot of the usual suspects. We've got Weber County, Morgan City, South Ogden, Washington Terrace, Marriott Slaterville, Harrisville, Tooele County, Hooper, which is a new one for us, and Vernontown, which is also a new one for us. And Vernontown is on the pre-approved list, so hopefully they'll get a project. Some of the projects they were wanting to apply for, we've got Hooper was actually hoping to do some sort of housing infrastructure project, so we'll see how that goes. It's hard to do housing with the limited amount of funds that we have. Tooele City also wanted to do a housing project, but I think that was for like senior housing, which would be great. Wendover wants to complete their water line. Another water project, another water tank, another water tank. And then some road and utility projects. And that is all the examples that we received. Hooper wants to build a community center, which isn't completely eligible because anyone can use a community center regardless of your income. But they want to have a portion of the building be specifically for seniors. So if they do apply for that, we would be able to, depending on how they rank, we would be able to fund, if 20% of the building is for senior services, we can fund 20% of the total project cost. So some different projects than we've seen in a while, some housing and senior services, and which is different than the roads and water and sewer, which is usually what we get. So,
a couple questions, Christy. Yes. Trying to keep up with all these over the years.
Yeah.
So apparently we can still do multiple projects as long as they don't go over $250,000.
Correct.
Multi-year projects. We can still do multi-year projects.
Yes.
Okay.
Capped at $200,000 per year. Unless.
3 years?
2 years. I think we have 2 years written in our in our policies and procedures. But there is a stipulation like that if we have additional funding like we did this last year, so like we gave Marriott Slaterville whatever like $350,000 instead of $200,000, but that just means we'll have to give them $150,000 less this upcoming year. Which is something we should also keep in mind, that we already owe Marriott Slaterville $50,000 or so dollars for this upcoming cycle.
To make their second year project whole.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah. We're operating under the assumption we have the same amount of funding as last year, which is about $870,000. But that doesn't include, you know, if anyone had to give any money back or anything like that, which seems to be a reoccurring theme. Every year I've administered the program, we get additional funding than we expected. So, but not to bank on that, but that's where we're sitting.
All right. And then we'll have the option of up to $25,000 on the tail end.
20.
Was it 20? Up to $20,000 on the tail end of funding projects to potentially explore revolving loan fund if that's something we want to do.
Don't add that extra five in. That might kill the deal.
I'm just hoping we have a really good applicant year.
It sounds like we will. This How to Apply workshop was probably the most attended one in the 3 years I've posted it. So.
Yep.
That's good. I know Weber Housing Authority wanted to do some housing rehab projects. We talked about that months and months ago, though, so hopefully they're still wanting to do something along those lines. They would just have to do it outside of Ogden City, of course. But we are early.
Okay.
Does anyone want to...
Any other business? We've got our next meeting on there for February 18th of 2020.
Great.
Motion to adjourn.
Okay, yeah, motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All right. Second.
All right. Awesome.
All in favor? Aye, aye, aye.
Okay. Thank you all. Okay, thank you, Rochelle.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too.